Welcome to the Bubble Lounge. I'm Martha Jackson, and it's just me today. Nelly is off being a movie star in Los Angeles. She is shooting a commercial for the past few days, and she will be back with us next week. But today we're going to talk about something that I've been missing quite a bit during COVID, and that is live music. Most of you guys know, you've heard me talk about it. I love to go to concerts. I love all sorts of music. That's just kind of my thing. And I've really missed going to concerts during COVID. And today I'm going to introduce you to an amazing musician who literally would be normally be on the road touring right now, but he's doing concerts in people's backyards, COVID-friendly concerts where you can have just a small group of your friends over and spread out nicely in your backyard and have him play. I feel like right now, the past few months, more than ever, that we really need music in our lives, because that's kind of one thing that brings everyone together, no matter what their beliefs are. It's a kind of a common ground that we can all agree on. So in this very special episode, I'm going to introduce you to a performer who has some amazing original music, and he is going to perform it live. This is going to be our first live music performance on the Bubble Lounge, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear this, and you are not going to believe how he ends this. So without further ado, here's John Christopher Davis. Welcome to the show, John. It's good to have you.
Thank you very much, Martha.
So every industry has been hit hard this year from COVID, and the music industry has definitely been hit hard. I said recently on one of our episodes that the first thing I want to do when things get better is go to a crowded concert and be on the front row yelling and having a good time. So yeah. Tell me, what is going on with you? Literally, the first time I saw you perform was in early part of March at Yardbird. It was at their grand opening, and I thought you were absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
COVID hit. Then you were never to be seen again until recently.
Well, no kidding. And it was a week. That was the last
band
gig that I had done. Well, anyway, it's been a long gap since band gigs, but that was one of the last ones until recently. But to answer your question, yeah, I mean, we've been sucker punched. I mean, completely the rug pulled out from underneath us. And that's why I started doing little house concerts and going to people's backyards. I'm like, you know, maybe there's got to be some kind of a happy medium. I totally understand not wanting to go to an inside bar where it's crowded. I wouldn't do that either. But you can't have these things outside responsibly. And
sure.
We live in Texas. You never know. I mean, one day it could be snowing. The next day you're in your bathing suit. It's just like, so, I mean, it worked really well in the summer, and I think it's going to be even more popular come this spring.
Since when the weather gets a little bit nicer, sure.
I do.
So that's pretty amazing. I want to talk about your background some, because it's really amazing that we can hire someone of your caliber to have at our yard to perform.
Oh, thank you.
So walk us through, how did you get to the music industry?
Well, I was born and raised here in Dallas, but my father was a music minister. My mother was a Vegas lounge singer, so naturally,
kind of rubbed off on you.
Yeah, totally. And so I kind of grew up in a guitar case, and it's all I've ever done. And I'm 52, and it's like I've never had a legit job. I've always wrote songs and played music, and so anyway. But I went to Nashville in my 20s, and I just got lucky that some pretty cool people took me underneath their wing. Some other well-known Texas singer-songwriters by the name of Rodney Crow and Radney Foster. These are Grammy Award-winning Texas singer-songwriters, but they were up there, and I guess maybe they saw a little bit of their younger selves than me. It's like, okay, let's help this kid. And the next thing I know, I end up with a publishing deal with Warner Brothers, and then that led to my first record deal with Warner Brothers, and then that led to a deal with MCA Records, and then Sony Records, and then Napster comes and kind of, you know, drops a big bomb on the music business. Record sales are gone, you know. And now we live in this streaming world, so I went back to performing live. And I came back home to Texas, and it's been the smartest thing I could have ever done for my career, is coming back here. And so I just start all over again, and it's freaking great.
Well, you mentioned Napster, and I know that the music world has changed a lot, and it's harder for you guys to make money.
Oh,
can
sure.
you tell us how you guys make money now? Is it going on tour? Is it writing songs? What do you do?
Tour, sure. Playing live, that's the main thing. Merchandise.
Yes.
But also, I'm lucky enough that a lot of my stuff gets licensed for television, sync licensing.
Okay.
So I could take, I play you a song on my album, right? But I could also go back and mute my vocal on that album and produce an instrumental bed. And then some company may take 10 seconds out of that instrumental bed and it ends up in a reality TV show.
Oh, wow.
Or a hunting show. And so so that's a little different from touring and merchandise, but it's another revenue stream.
Sure.
You know, I mean, because TV is our radio now.
Right, right.
It really is.
Well, a lot of you do a lot of songwriting, and you have written some songs for some pretty big names, you were telling me recently.
Yeah. Well, I just got very lucky. I was in the right town at the right time. And
this was Nashville, right?
Nashville. Uh-huh. Yeah, and so as a young punk from Dallas, yeah. I mean, Dolly Parton, Tim McGraw, Billy Ray Cyrus, Martina McBride, Toto, Hal Ketchum, Timothy B. Schmidt from the Eagles. I don't know. I've got like 25 of them that were pretty cool.
Those are some pretty big names. Do you ever get starstruck when you meet these people?
Yeah. Dolly Parton recording one of your songs is pretty. Well,
that's
keep
exactly what I'm thinking of.
I grew up on Dolly Parton. I was a little boy sitting at my grandparents' feet watching Hee Haw and the Grand Ole Opry. So Porter Wagoner and Dolly Parton, that was, I mean, they were gods to me as a little kid. And so for her, who's arguably one of the greatest songwriters ever, I mean, Dolly's the one who wrote, you know, I Will Always Love You, that everyone, you know, thinks it's a Whitney Houston song. It's not. It's a Dolly Parton song. So when you say, I mean, Dolly Parton's a songwriter. So when she cuts one of my songs, it's like, I mean, I could pass out. Hit me over with a feather.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
And I'm a punk. I'm a little boy. But that led to another song getting cut and yada, yada. So I know I'm still in awe when it happens.
So you told a really funny story the other night about when you met Eddie Money, when you were, I think you were fairly young when you met him.
Well, no, actually, it was shortly before he died. We were playing down outside of Houston, a town called the Woodlands, and mm-hmm. there's a venue there called the Do-Si-Do. And Eddie Money is, you know, I mean, God bless, rest in peace, Eddie. Well, he's a rock and roll legend. And we're talking, you know, like, I've got two tickets to paradise, won't you? Pack your bags, we'll leave tonight. So they asked me to open up for him. And I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of nervous. And so I drove down there, and I did a pretty good job. As I'm walking off stage, that's true. Eddie Money's walking up.
Uh-huh.
And he's got, you know, he had the greatest Brooklyn accent. And he's smoking that big old cigarette. Hey, kid, come here. I want to talk to you. And I'm like, yeah. I thought maybe I pissed him off or something. He's like, hey, man, you're pretty good, man. You ever been told that? Like, I think you got a real future in this business, man. You kind of remind me of a friend of mine. His name's Bob Seger. You probably never heard of him. You're too young. Anyway, you kind of remind me of a Bob Seger, man. Like, keep it up. I'm like, that's all I needed to hear. I'm like, great. Apparently I'm supposed to sing rock and roll music. It was lovely.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great story. So when you're out performing and you're on tour, do you ever have any songs that the crowd absolutely loves, but you are just so sick of playing them?
Hell yes. There's a tune I wrote years ago called Lone Star Attitude, and it's just a very elementary three-chord dance hall track.
It's a great song.
Well, people like it. For me,
you don't.
It was more of a joke. I wasn't trying to be serious. But long story short, it ended up being a hit here in Texas and stayed on the charts for nearly a year.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
And then my manager at the time said, you know, you kind of got something, a bull by the horn there. I'm like, huh? He's like, man, you should like print up a bunch of merch, like t-shirts and hats and stickers and blah, 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 because people love the song Lone Star Attitude. Well, we did. And the merchandise started selling out so well, it finally, the light bulb came on about 6 months later. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't think they're buying this because of the song. I think it's like accidentally writing Don't Mess with Texas, and it's like the little brother. And it's like people were just, they could relate to Lone Star Attitude. So next thing you know, we trademark it, and then it ends up two airport stores out at DFW International, and then we have an LSA burger company in downtown Denton, which is a two-story hamburger joint on steroids that just pays tribute to the legends of Texas. So I'm very thankful I wrote the song.
Do you mind playing a little bit of it?
Oh, sure, sure. But is it my favorite song? No. Sure. I'll give you a chorus. I might smoke all day, drink all night, do a little dance, maybe get in a fight. Between old Jim Beam and Gary P. Nunn, I'm gonna raise a little hell and have some fun. I'm gonna get a little rowdy and rude. I might even get a Martha tattoo. Let's get one thing straight and make no mistake. I got a Lone Star attitude.
Okay, how can you not like that song?
Just a dance hall, you know.
It's a
just,
damn good song.
Well, thank you. People like it. I'm glad they do.
So you have a lot of really great original songs, and I always love hearing you sing them. And I want to know kind of the stories behind some of your songs, like Barcelona, for example. You were telling us the other night had quite the interesting background.
Is this a family show?
It's okay. If it's bad, we can do a little pre-warning.
Look, I've been married. My wife and I have been together 34 years.
Wow, that's impressive.
Well, we were high school sweethearts, and we're still just as crazy about each other as we were when we were kids. And it's a really cool thing to grow up with your partner and you can't keep your hands off of her. And she's just a beautiful woman. She's a yoga teacher. I'm very inspired by her. And we still do date nights. And we keep it fun and exciting. And so one particular night, we're in downtown Dallas having a good time. And she's in the most beautiful summer dress and the most beautiful high heels. And she's walking up the steps. And I'm just like, oh, thank you, God. I think I get to be married to this incredibly sexy, beautiful woman. And I wrote a song about it. I've always wanted to go to Barcelona. It sounds very romantic and cool. I hear wonderful things about it. And so it's kind of on my bucket list to take Kelly to Barcelona one day and dance with her.
I think that's the first thing you should do when things get better. Can you play a little bit of that
sure,
one?
Sure, sure. Come with me on a train, I wanna take you back to Spain, to the night we came alive. My heart is racing, I think it's time to chase you up and down the steps. High heels and a summer dress, just breathe, let it go now. Don't you wanna run? Dance with me in Barcelona.
Woohoo!
Small,
I love it.
Small version.
The crowd's going wild.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so that's the inspiration behind that.
Yeah, I always love hearing the backstories of how songs come about, because a lot of times some of these bands, especially the ones I love, because I told you I really like the hard rock music.
That surprised me. Where were we? And some Motley Crue came on.
Yes, and Metallica.
And you were like, turn it up, turn it up. I'm like, what?
That's right, I did.
You don't strike me as a metalhead.
Hey, looks can be deceiving. Don't judge people by their looks, as they say. So, no, I love it. But most of the times for their songs, they don't have deep meaning behind them. Mm-hmm. They're kind of mysterious of how it all came about. So I love that you have a great backstory for those songs.
Thank you.
I also love Vinyl Revival. When you first sang that, when I saw that, saw you perform that, I fell in love with that song. Mm-hmm. It's a great song. Tell me about that one.
Vinyl Revival, I have my daughter to thank, my daughter Claire. She's 18 now, about to graduate. But when she was, I don't know, 12 or 13, she, in my downstairs office, it's my music room, a piano, my guitars, and the walls are lined up with guitars and albums. And she got into her old man's record collection, like it pulled him out, like what is this thing? And I'm like, oh, once, you know, far, far away land, a long time ago, we used to go buy vinyl records. Anyway, so I just told her about these records, and she started discovering Elton John and James Taylor, Simon and Garfunkel, Pink Floyd, the Eagles, David Bowie, and I'm like, and Prince, and like, ah, oh, as a dad, I'm like, oh, I'm so proud. She's discovering Jimi Hendrix. She started getting into rock and roll through these vinyl records, and so I wrote a song about it called Vinyl Revival, and it's just kind of a tip of my hat to my rock and roll heroes.
Well, I was actually talking to my son when I was driving to school today about the good old days, as I called it, of going to Sound Warehouse and flipping through the albums. I thought that was so fun and something we're definitely missing now, because you'd be flipping through there and some of the crazy artwork, like Ted Nugent, I'm picturing him and those forks in his eyes. That would just capture my attention. I'd be like, who is this guy? And then you'd buy it because you wanted to see, hear what kind of music that guy would produce. And I miss being able to do that. It was fun.
So, I totally agree, 100%. It was an experience.
It was.
Where now we stream, and that's an experience too, but it's not the same kind of experience. It's like, it's a difference between going into a bookstore or you know, reading something on your iPad.
Yeah, you're like, you really get to submerge yourself in the experience and get lost in the different genres, like
no
some that you would never pay attention to.
Yeah.
So can you play a little bit of that song?
Sure, sure. Goes, when I was a kid, my only salvation was a record store and an FM station. Pioneer speakers rattling the glass. Sometimes I wanna rewind to the past, back when the music soothe my soul before MTV killed rock and roll. I need a vinyl revival, a vinyl revival, a vinyl revival, a vinyl revival.
That is awesome. Woo!
Thank you.
Love
Thank
it. You. So, obviously, you perform a lot in bars and just establishments where people have been drinking a lot. And I would imagine you have some funny stories. I always thought it would be fun to be in a band or a bartender and just see the progression of someone walking in completely sober after work, and then that progression as things go along the night, and just seeing what comes out of that. Do you have any funny stories?
It's amazing what alcohol can do.
It really is.
And everyone's different. I can say in all my years of playing in bands and playing bars, and even if I was having a good time, like I never played the fool. I'm like, what I see now is like people are just like, there's no bandwidth whatsoever between their ears. You know, I've seen clothes come off. I've seen fights. I've seen things I can't say on your podcast. So it's I don't know. I try to stay away from the crazy. My job is to be on this side of the stage. What you guys do over there, that's your business. But no, I keep all my crazy on stage, and it's called music.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, John, if COVID hadn't happened this year, what would you normally be doing right now?
Well, when I'm not doing my own John Christopher Davis gig, I have another band with a guy in Florida. His name is Stan Lynch, and Stan was the original drummer for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And Stan also produces Don Henley, who's we could throw a rock and hit his house from here. And so Stan and I put a band together called the Speaker Wars, and we do all of our business out in Nashville, the labels in Nashville, our managers in Nashville, our engineer, new engineers now in Nashville. So it's so funny. I moved out of Nashville, now returning to the scene of the crime.
Going back. But, wait, I want to interrupt just real quick. Yeah. You have kind of a funny story of how you got that name, the Speaker Wars.
Well, that would be compliments of Mr. Don Henley.
Don Henley, guys.
Yeah. So it's crazy. Don is, was it Gilmer, Texas? I think he's from something like that. Anyway, east of here. And Stan and Don were on the highway driving there, and there was they saw a billboard that said it was supposed to say speaker wire. And I guess one of the letters fell or whatever, or something was missing. Anyway, it looked like speaker wars. And Don thought, is that supposed to be like is that hillbilly for speaker wires? Hey, we got speaker wars over here. Yo, come in here if we got speaker wars. And that's when they looked at each other like, speaker wars. The speaker wars. That's like the Black Keys. That's got a cool ring to it. So next thing I know, this is great. I've got Tom Petty's drummer and Don Henley making up the band name that I'm in.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Well, I have to tell you, I have created many band names while I've had a few cocktails with my husband. Like, we are constantly like, band name, and we think we're genius. So,
yeah, well, look, I mean, think about it. What if I would have told you, hey, Martha, I got an idea for a band. We're going to call it Hootie and the Blowfish.
You probably I would have said you're crazy.
Right. It's like, so it's like, I mean, what's that? I don't know. I mean, it's you got to back up the name, you know? So with a name like the Speaker Wars, we better bring the heat, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what else would you be doing?
Well, we would be probably on tour right now. I mean, we were, you know, I'm not trying to name drop, but it was pretty cool. We got invited to go do some things with the Foo Fighters, and
yeah, that's kind of cool.
It's not bad for a boy who lives in McKinney, Texas. That's pretty cool, and you know, I mean, Don's down the street, and he plays in this band. You may have heard him called the Eagles.
Oh my God, he's on first name basis. Don down the street.
Yeah, down the street. Yeah, so I mean, like, there's, and you know, it's cool. We're just invited to do some really cool things. That's probably what we would be doing right now, but that's not going to be happening for maybe another year or so. Therefore, that's why I started doing these house shows. And like, well, man, if people aren't going to get out, maybe I can bring the music to them in a responsible, very cool way.
Sure. So did you guys hear that? Someone who would normally be performing with the Foo Fighters and the Eagles, and you can hire him for your yard and have your own private show, guys. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's there, you know, and house concerts aren't new. That's something that's been going on for years and years. But I thought, well, heck, we'll just call this the backyard tour. And literally, I'm going to come and set up in your backyard. And it's like, okay, cool. Everyone can spread out, and we can put on responsible, really cool shows. And they don't have to be loud. You're like, they're not going to call the cops. It's like, there's a way to do it. And we've proven it. It's been very, we did quite well over the summer. Now it's kind of chilly now, but then again, it's Texas. I mean, you just never know. So, I mean, it could be snowing one day and you call us up the next day. Hey, man, it's 70 degrees. Come on over. Okay.
For a pool party.
Yeah. So that's, we're just, you know, look, we're not going to let, COVID does not stop creativity.
No. If anything, I feel like people have gotten more creative.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, we're taking it to the streets, taking it to the backyard is what we're doing.
Yeah. I can just see the merch now, the T-shirts with everyone's address on the back, the Jackson's house. Right.
Right. Yeah, that's actually a good idea. We'll set it up.
So how can people find you? How can they hire you?
Well, if they will just go to my website, it's John, J-O-N, Christopher Davis, J-O-N, Christopher Davis.com. And pretty much everything is there, pictures and videos, and my email's there. I'm easy guy to find, J-O-N, John Christopher Davis, and that's it.
And you can have anywhere from just you to the full band, right?
Correct. Yeah, because everyone's space is different.
Sure.
So it could be me, could be duo, trio, four-piece, five-piece, kind of. Can be anything. Just depends on your space.
Right.
And how many people you want to have, and you know, and be responsible about it. And but man, it's been great. It's been lovely, not only just for me and the guys to play music, but just to see what it does for people.
Right. Yeah. Music makes people so happy. It's such a good mood lifter, especially this year.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. But I'm very optimistic. The sun's gonna come out again. There's no doubt about it. And but I don't think everyone's going to be fully comfortable by this spring or
right.
Maybe even by this summer.
It's
maybe.
Not for everyone.
No, it's not. But I want this to be an option for people that, like, okay, we'll just bring it to you and respect your space. Like, you set it up the way you want, and like, great, we'll work within that. And it's been great. And that's, I think that's what we're going to be doing a lot come spring and summer, our backyard shows.
Awesome. I love it. Well, speaking of music making people happy, let's end on a happy note and sing a great song.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm a songwriter. I love doing my songs, but I also like tipping my hat to the people who made me, you know, want to become a singer-songwriter and an artist. And I think something that we can all kind of gather around, especially on this day, it's a very important day, regardless of which side you're on, you know, regardless of your religion, like, the one thing we got to do is we got to find some common ground. And this is America, so we won't back down. Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. I'm gonna stand my ground. I won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. And I won't back down. I say, hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't.
Encore, encore! Bring him back. Bring it. Mm-hmm. You know what you have to do now. One of my favorite things to do at concerts when I'm on the front row is, it's a goal of mine to either get guitar picks or drumsticks. So now you have to throw me a pick.
Oh, look at that. From me to you.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, John.
Thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun.
That's been another episode of the Bubble Lounge. I'm Martha Jackson, and we'll catch you next time.
I might smoke all day, drink all night, do a little dance, maybe get in a fight between old Jim Beam and Gary P. Nunn. I'm gonna raise a little hell and have some fun. I'm gonna get a little rowdy and rude. I might even get a Martha tattoo. Let's get one thing straight and make no mistake. I got a Lone Star.